Shabbat Shalom. It's good to see everyone this morning. What an honor and a privilege again to come and sit and learn from his Torah and really to give him the glory and honor that he deserves. And the name, just to put that name there, miracles happen with that name. We have no idea how powerful that name really is when we proclaim it. It's all about the name. That name, that wonderful, mighty name of Yehovah. Amen. He's so good to us. I tell you, I requested that song because it just has been on my heart ever since we got into the Exodus account. And I was just listening to it again this morning. You know how he kept making a way for the children of Israel every single time that they got themselves in a mess. He made a way. He didn't put them in that mess. But he saw fit to make a way just to show him how much his loving commitment was to Abraham from the beginning. He made a way for him every single time. I thought about my life, how every single time he made a way for me. When I didn't deserve a way, didn't deserve it at all. But he kept making a way for me, kept making a way for me, kept making a way for me time and time and time again. And it was when I woke up this morning, I said, man, we got to sing that. Just it goes perfect with the Torah and with our lives. Not only my life, he made a way for every single one of y'all that is here. Listen, up till today, he made a way for you today. He saw fit to give you life and breath again this morning to come and sit and learn and give him the glory now that his name deserves. Amen? And I don't never want to forget that. I don't never want to diminish that in no kind of way. I always want to remember how he made a way constantly in that name. I always want to remember that. We'll go ahead and get started because I already got started. Torah teachings is understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And like Pastor said last night, you can't express that enough. How you want to understand his likes and his dislikes. Because all that does is just pleases him when you're doing what he likes and what he dislikes. That's all that does is just pleases him. And it pleases Yeshua to know that you're following him because that's all he did. That's all he did. That's all he knew is how to please his Father. Loved what he loved and hate what he hated. And that's all I want for my life. That's all I want for, just like that song we're singing, for my children and my children's children. That's all I want for their lives is to know what pleases the Father. Know what he likes and know what he don't like. Love what he loves and hate what he hates. And we're in Torah portion number 16, Beshalat, and it's Hebrew for when sent forth or let go. Exodus 13, 17 through 17, 16, and the half Torah, Judges 4, verse 4 through 5, 31. And I'll just go through the topics real quick because they're not very long. It says, Soon after following the children of Israel to depart from Egypt, Pharaoh chases after them to force their return. And the Israelites find themselves trapped between Pharaoh's armies and the sea. Elohim tells Moses to raise his staff over the water. The sea splits to allow the Israelites to pass through and then closes over the pursuing Egyptians. Moses and the children of Israel sing a song of praise and gratitude to Elohim. Why? Because he made another way. He made another way. Right when you got to that one spot where you didn't know where else to turn to, there's water right in front of you. And the enemy is right on your tail. And boom, he makes a way. Where there seemed to be none. In our eyes, they were in their eyes, and in our eyes, when we got to that spot, the enemy's right behind us, and all we see is water, and some of us can't swim. And I'm pretty sure some of them couldn't swim. So you're either going to swim or drown. And here he is making that provision one more time. Again, making that way. So therefore, they gave him praise and gratitude. So what should we do? We should do the same exact thing. Every time he makes a way for us, give him praise and gratitude. And how you do that? By days like today. Showing up on his set apart days, his appointed times, just to come give him the glory and honor that he deserved. In the desert, the people suffer thirst and hunger and repeatedly complain. We don't do none of that. We don't complain. To Moses and Aaron, Elohim miraculously sweetens the bitter waters of Marah. And later has Moses bring forth water from a rock by striking it with his staff. He causes manna to rain down from the heavens before dawn each morning and quail to appear in the Israelites' camp each evening. The children of Israel are instructed to gather a double portion of manna on Friday, as none will descend on Shabbat, the divinely decreed day of rest. Some disobey and go to gather manna on the seventh day, but find nothing. Aharon preserves a small quantity of manna in a jar as a testimony of future generations, for future generations. In Rephidim, the people are attacked by the Amalekites, who were defeated by Moses, prayers, and an army raised by Joshua. Just to read the text, Exodus 13, 17. And it came to be when Pharaoh had let the people go. Now this, and Pharaoh let the people go, we can get it kind of twisted that it was Pharaoh and want to give Pharaoh the praise for letting the people go. But how many know that Pharaoh was just a pawn? You know, ever played chess? He was just a pawn in the hand of Yehovah. It wasn't Pharaoh that let the people go. He ain't had no choice. It was when Yehovah said, checkmate, Pharaoh had no choice but to let the people go. So it wasn't Pharaoh that actually let them go. It was Yehovah that made a way for them to get out, for them to escape. That Elohim did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, though that was nearer. For Elohim said, lest the people regret when they see fighting and return to Mizraim. So Elohim led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Sea of Reeds. And sometimes we don't want that journey. You know, we don't want Elohim's journey. Because sometimes it's a little longer than our journey. You know, we always want the shortcut. We don't want the long way. We want to get there faster. How many times those shortcuts sometimes bite you in the rear? Shortcuts cost you a lot of headaches. A lot of downtime. Shortcuts caution. But Elohim led them his way, not their way. He knows best. He knows what's best for us. And the children of Israel went up in fives from the land of Mizraim. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef with him, for he certainly made the children of Israel swear, saying, Elohim shall certainly visit you, and you shall bring my bones from here with you. And they departed from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And Yehovah went before them by day in a column of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a column of fire to give them light, so as to go by the day and night. The column of cloud did not cease by day, nor the column of fire by night before the people. Did not cease. I thought about that. When he's leading the way, when he's putting something in front of you, there's nothing short about him at all. It don't cease. It just keeps on giving, keeps on going. Like the Energizer. That commercial is funny sometimes, I guess. You know, that bunny just keeps on going and going and going. How many know that Yehovah keeps on going and going and going and going? At some point in time, that battery is going to need a recharge. They don't tell you that. They don't show that. They make you just want to buy the product. But the battery does die sooner or later. It don't keep on going and going and going. But Yehovah does. That's so awesome about him and about serving him. That he doesn't cease in no kind of way. Doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleep. He doesn't get sick, weary. None of that. He just keeps going and going and going. And his goodness keeps going on and on and on and on. So let's get where we left off last night. This is where Pastor stopped. 50 in Hebrew is symbolic and representing the Yobel. and the release of debts, metaphorically picturing for us the fullness of redemption. And so here with the Israelites leaving Mitzrayim in battle array in fives or in fifties carries for us the fullness of the redemption price that brought through the Passover of Yehovah. It is by the blood of Yeshua Messiah that we have been redeemed from slavery and death. By the blood of Yeshua Messiah, and are fully equipped to be led forth in truth. Listen, if he says I am fully equipped, then I got to stop saying I can't. I can't keep this. I can't keep this commandment. I can't keep that commandment. He's saying by the blood, because of the blood of Yeshua Messiah, I've been redeemed from slavery and I'm fully equipped. He fully equipped us to do what he called us to do. The enemy wants us to think that, oh, you can't keep this. You can't keep that. That's too hard. That's done away with. But no, he says you are fully equipped to be led forth in truth. In truth. And in complete battle array. As we, the redeemed, put on the armor of Elohim, which is to walk in obedience to his commands and be dressed in pure garments of righteousness. Pure garments of righteousness. That is to be dressed as a set-apart priesthood in his Torah. His Torah that leads us in victorious procession in Messiah. And we're about this armor that we're about to talk about is good. We've never seen it. Well, we've seen just a part. We've kind of seen it a little bit. We touched on it last year about this armor. But the way it's broken down in here is awesome. Let us briefly take a look at the armor of Elohim as described in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. For the rest, my brothers, be strong in the Master and in the mightiness of his strength. Whose strength? His strength. Listen. You can work out all you want. You can be the fittest person on this earth. Don't do you no good because you got to be strong in the Master and the mightiness of his strength. Because your strength, you're going to fail. Your strength, you're going to come up short. But you got to walk in his strength, in his might, his power. Put on the complete armor of Elohim. You want to be successful? You got to put on the complete armor. You got to put it all on. Not just the helmet of salvation, not just the breastplate of righteousness, but really, what really stuck out to me, that belt. You got to put that belt of truth on. You know, some religions, they don't feel like they need the truth because the truth is this Torah. They don't want that belt of truth because it comes with rules. Can't act the way you act. Can't talk the way you talk. Shouldn't. Remember last night, Pastor made a statement, don't proclaim it if you're not living it. Don't proclaim it. You know, sometimes when I get dressed up, get the head all nice and shaved and shiny, I feel like $1 million. That don't mean I got it. Pastor Josh don't have it. Trust me. I could. I don't have it. I might feel like it, but I don't have it. So listen, don't proclaim it. Live it. Why? Put on the complete armor of Elohim for you to have power to stand against the schemes of the devil. See how important that armor is? Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You can be fit. Your muscles ain't going to do you no good because it ain't flesh and blood that you're wrestling against. But against principalities, against authorities, against the rulers, the world rulers of darkness of this age. Against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim. So that you have power to withstand in the wicked day. And having done all to stand, listen, and having done all to stand, you got the full armor on, but there's still going to be days that, you know, you're getting a little weary. The enemy might have been pounding on you that day, pounding on you all that week. But he says, when you've done all to stand, I love the next verse. Stand then. Listen, remember, I think it was Sukkot. When we took that Torah scroll and we all got in and wrapped ourselves around that Torah, that was a powerful moment. Listen. Then having your girded waist with truth. When you've done all to stand, stand. Then stand. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having fitted your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace, above all, having taken up the shield of belief, with which you shall have power to quench all the burning arrows of the wicked one. Take also the helmet of deliverance and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim, praying at all times with all power and supplication in the Spirit, watching in all perseverance and supplication for myself, for all the set apart ones. Remember last night at Ephesians 4? Listen, you'll never read that Ephesians 4 again. At least I won't. And think nothing less of what it really says. Building up the body. Listen. Building up the body. I need to be praying for Papa Stopper. If I'm praying for Papa Stopper and Papa Stopper's praying for Tasha and Tasha's praying for Hillary and Hillary's praying for Sister Linda, I'm not thinking about myself no more. And somebody's praying for me. Listen, building up the body of Messiah. Why? Supplication for all the set apart ones. Be on perseverance, watching for each and every one of ourselves. Listen, the body is strong and we're together. The enemy wants us divided because he knows he can get to us like that. If he can get us by ourselves, he got us. He wins. But if we're on the lookout for each one another, how can he? How can if we're building up the body together, if we're watching in all perseverance, meaning when I'm going through something, I'm still watching out for Sister Eula Mae, still praying for Sister Kathy, Sister Adrian, not thinking about myself, putting myself to the side, because I know that if we're doing that, then someone has got my back. I don't need to have my back because I know someone else has my back. So therefore, I can be on all watch for someone else. Amen. So good to us. Supplication for all the set apart ones. Shaul is not describing how we should dress like a Roman soldier. And for years we bought that. You know that? Because Roman soldiers with all that armor, you look tough. But you're probably soft like cotton behind all that armor. You look tough. But rather, he is clearly describing for us that we, as a set-apart royal and chosen priesthood, are to be dressed in the complete Torah of Elohim. The complete Torah. Not just the Torah that I like. Anybody read that Deuteronomy 28? Yeah. The complete Torah. We want the blessing. But we don't want the curse. Yeah, I want all the good stuff. But when I'm bad, I still want the good stuff. Sound like our world today, huh? You can be bad or good and you still get the good stuff. Put on a complete Torah. Everything that's in there. When we continue in our knowledge and understanding of all scripture from a true Hebraic perspective, regardless of the language. How many know this comes in many languages? You know, you can get it where the Latinos, the Latin people can read it. The Asians can read it in their language. We can read it in our language. It comes in many languages. It is written in, we are better equipped to handle the truth with great joy and stand firm no matter the circumstances we face. We got to understand in Hebraic language. That's what we got to get. Because it's totally different. Has so much more meaning behind it when you break it down in Hebraic language. So no matter what, regardless what the language is written in, Put on your Hebraic thinking behind it or in front of it. This is what we bought. Right there. Big sword, big shield, big pretty shiny stuff. Bought that for so long. But that's not the armor he's talking about. No, put on my Torah. Put on that armor and watch. We need to firstly recognize that when Shaul was writing these clear instructions to the set-apart ones, he was clearly pointing his readers back to what? The Torah and the prophets. Shaul, New Testament, pointing back to the Torah, the concrete, the foundation of Scripture. And how we are to dress like our Savior and not like a Roman soldier. As we see from Colossians 3:10, that we are to put on the new man according to the likeness of him who created him. We are to put on Messiah as we go through the armor. And let us start by looking at Isaiah 59:16-17. And he saw that there was no man. Who saw that there was no man? Jehovah saw that there was no man and was astonished that there was no intercessor. So his own arm saved for him, and his righteousness upheld him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate, talking about Yeshua, and a helmet of deliverance on his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with his ador as a mantle. Wrapped himself in the Torah. He wrapped himself in the Torah. Shaul was most certainly pointing back to this text in Yeshayahu, and we must recognize that Yeshayahu was clearly speaking about Yeshua Messiah and his garments, and dressed as our high priest and not as a Roman soldier. Sometimes I wish that we would have just slowed down just a little bit with our reading of the scripture. Or even went back and check it out for ourselves. Instead of just it being handed on down to us and running with it and believing it. Surely it's got to be true if my pastor said it. But never ever really studied it out for ourselves. We would have seen it right here. It's clear as day. And his garments as dressed as our high priest, not as a Roman soldier, bearing in mind that Yeshayahu, Isaiah, would never have known what a Roman soldier even looked like. As he lived a few hundred years before Rome even came into the picture. This is what he looked like. This is the armor of Elohim. This is what Yeshua put on, our high priest. And let's not forget, he says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. This is the armor that we should have put on, that we need to put on. This is what it looked like, not the whole Roman soldier attire. But it made us look tough. Somehow doing the Torah makes you look weak. In people's eyes, not in Yehovah's eyes. Doing his Torah don't make you look weak. You strong. You are royal priesthood. You are a chosen nation. And so what we can see straight up here in Shaul's letters to the believers in Ephesus is that they were to dress like Messiah. Are we still to today ought to dress like Messiah? Amen. Absolutely, we ought to dress like him. Our high priest. And in the context of understanding the armor of Elohim, we can see how, in a manner of speaking, that Yeshayahu is actually describing Yeshua Messiah as being the armor of Yehovah, that which Yehovah has given us of himself to put on and be clothed in him. Freely gave it to us. Didn't cost us anything to have this on. But obey. But obedience. That's all it's costing us. I say it again, and I know we all agree to this, and that is that we are to put on Messiah in his fullness. Yet the mythical picture of a Roman soldier in regards to this armor has in actual fact disarmed so many who, through a twisted picture taught by blind guides, have caused many to not truly understand what is being written here and how this armor of Elohim is actually pointing to our need to be dressed in him and his Torah in order to faithfully serve in his tabernacle as a royal priesthood. While he uses the imagery of Roman soldier garments, which would be relevant to his hearers, we must take note that using the Roman soldier imagery of the armor of Elohim alone, without taking this imagery to the line up with the priestly service in the tabernacle, simply points to a lawless regime, which is in for a huge wake-up call. We need to have this imagery restored to its true meaning so that we are well equipped to stand. What he says? When you've done all to do what? Stand? Stand then, having put on the armor of Elohim, the true armor of Elohim. Why? Because he's well equipped us. And when the day of Yehovah comes, we who are dressed in the Torah by walking according to his command will be manifested with Messiah in esteem. As we consider the armor of Yehovah, which I have often said I will speak on, I must tell you that it was the text in Exodus 28 that got me looking a little deeper into his armor, which says in Exodus 28:4, "And these are the garments which they make: a breastplate, a shoulder garment, a robe, an embroidered long shirt, a turban, and a girdle. And they shall make set apart garments for Aharon your brother and his sons, for him to serve as priest to me." This was the instruction given to Moshe in regards to the garments that the wise of heart, which were filled with a spirit of wisdom, were to make for Aharon the high priest. What struck me was that there are six items here, just as there are six items in the list of armor in Ephesians. And when recognizing the garments required for the high priest, as that which points to our high priest and king Yeshua Messiah, and seeing the words of Yeshayahu, then it is so clear and obvious as to what Shaul was referring to in his instructions for set apart believers. So clear and obvious of what he was talking about. But when you unhitch from this and you jump straight into this, you have no idea. You're thinking it's that Roman soldier armor. But when you just go back to the Torah and the prophets and you tie it in to exactly what Shaul is saying, you see in Isaiah, he's talking about the priestly garments. It's clear, clear. I would like to briefly run through the armor of Elohim. It's about to get good. Everybody say amen. And show how each part points us back to the Torah and the prophets and instructs us clearly how the Torah is the true set-apart gear for the one who will hear what the Spirit is saying. Listen, we had no idea that we were being equipped this coming year when we wrapped ourselves in that Torah as a coat. We had no idea what we were doing. We just knew it was that, Pastor just knew that it had to be done. Get up in here, we're about to wrap ourselves in this Torah. We're about to wrap ourselves in the armor of Elohim. You will be well equipped to face anything 2022 brings towards you this year. Because you are equipped, well equipped with his Torah. Shaul tells us to put on the armor of Elohim so that we have power to stand against the schemes of the devil. The word for put on in the Greek is enduo, Strong's G1746, which means to clothe or be clothed with, in the sense of sinking into a garment. Sinking into the garment. Sinking into his Torah. Listen, you got to be submersed into this. This is not nothing that you can sprinkle on. This is not nothing you can sit by the pool and just dangle your feet in. You got to get submersed in this stuff. This is the only thing that's going to help you with the schemes of the enemy. Because if you're not submersed in it, you're going to buy those little twisted lies that the enemy is going to show and going to bring to you. You're going to fall back into the dogmas and the traditions of men because you're just wetting your feet. Because then you don't know. You're not going to know the truth. You're not going to know how cold or how warm it really is. But when you're submersed in it, that's a big difference. When you're snorkeling in it, that's submersed. Where you're completely under it, that's a big difference. Even waist deep, chest deep, I'm good. No, we're not good. This is not good. This is not good. I want to be submersed in this. I want to be submersed in the armor of Elohim, in his Torah. Sinking into it. And it's made up of two words. Number one is in. Strong's G1722. Which is a primary preposition denoting position. And by implying the state of being instrumental meaning. In or on. With or by. In or on, with or by. You either in this, you either on this, you either with it, or you're living by it. And number two, duno. A form of duno, Strong's G1416, which means to enter, sink into, and setting. With the idea of setting, we can see how the 12 stones of the breastplate of the high priest were set into the ephod. The Greek word for armor is manoplia, Strong's G3833, meaning full armor. Put on the full armor of Elohim. You can't just take the helmet, protect my head, Lord. Can't just take the breastplate, feet shod with the preparation. Can't just take the shield. Can't just take the sword. Can't just put on the belt of truth. Without it, the full armor doesn't work to the fullest. If you're just taking pieces of it, you'll never have the full power of the armor of Elohim. Without the full armor of Elohim, you will be defeated. The enemy will defeat you if we don't have the full armor on. That's why he tells you to take on the full armor. Because some days he might not come at you in your mind. Some days he might come at you with your help. Some days he might come at you with the word saying, is it true? Is this true? Is that true? Is this true? Is that true? That's why he says put on the full armor, because you never know. The enemy's slick. Says the rule of this world, evil. That's why he says put on the full, not just partial. Because you never know what he's going to come at you with. But Yehovah knows. That's why he's warning you. Take on the full armor every day. Every day put on his armor. Which is also made up of two words. One, pas, Strong's G3956, which means all. Everything, continually, every kind, everyone. I just covered all that just before I even read that. When he just said put on everything, put it on all, continually, every day. Oh, I'm good today. You might have woke up feeling good, but who's to know how you're going to be going to bed? Number two, hooplon, Strong's G3696, which means a tool, implement, a weapon, instruments, and armor. The Greek word that is used for schemes is methodia, Strong's G3180, which means to employ craft, deceit, scheming, trickery, cunning arts, and lie in wait, like a roaring lion, and waiting to pounce on somebody. He's just waiting for the right time, waiting for that day that you decided not to take the shield of faith, or waiting for the day that you decide not to take the sword of the Spirit. That's what he does. You rushing and forgot to put all the armor on that morning. You think he doesn't know? He's watching, lying, and waiting. Oh, they forgot to put on that belt of truth. I got them today. They woke up 10 minutes later. They try to hit the snooze. Gets you every time. Gets me every time. Just might as well get up when it goes to quacking, huh, Papa? We are to fully put on Messiah, or else we will lack the necessary power to stand against the schemes and the trickery of the devil. You will lack the power. So many people think that they are wearing the armor of Elohim, while their disregard for the Torah immediately renders them powerless to the trickery and lies of the devil, who has well-crafted various religions and dogmas of man that so easily lure away those who have no armor and are only half-dressed due to compromise. Only half-dressed. Why? Because they don't want to put on the Torah. They don't want to wrap themselves in the Torah. Because when you wrap yourself in the Torah, you can't say what you want to say. You can't talk the way you want to talk. You can't walk the way you want to walk. You can't go to places that you want to go to. Because if you can't just, you can't, sometimes there's, now don't get it twisted. Yeshua ate with the sinners. I'm not saying you can't go, you know, enjoy some time with someone who's not a believer. But when it's in an environment that, you know, some music is really some type of party or whatever that might be, language, that sometimes you just got to excuse yourself from those things. Somehow I don't think Yeshua was eating with them, and when they crunk up the music, he stood. But when they started talking dirty, he stood. I don't think he stayed in those environments. I think he excused himself. It is the Torah, Moshe, that washes us and clothes us for the true set-apart services. Service. Leviticus 8, 6 through 9. So Moshe brought Aharon and his sons and washed them with water, and put the long shirt on him, and girded him with the girdle, and dressed him in the robe, and put the shoulder garment on him, and girded him with the embroidery band of the shoulder garment. And with it tied the shoulder garment, and with it tied the shoulder garment on him, and put the breastplate on him, and put the Urim and the Tumim in the breastplate, and put the turban on his head. And on the turban, on its front, he put the golden plate, the set-apart sign of dedication, as Jehovah had commanded Moshe. I also believe that Shaul was reflecting back to this passage when he was writing this letter to the believers in Ephesus. Let us now look at the armor that Shaul speaks of, the belt of truth. Number one, straight off the bat, the belt of truth. Often people recite this without recognizing what truth is. John 17:17. Set them apart in your truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. Set them apart in your truth. Your word. What word? It's Torah. John 14:6. Yeshua said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6, the words of Yeshua. But yet we can get a believer, a well-known believer, to stand up on national TV and say there's many ways to the Father? How? How can he even say that when Yeshua says, I am the only way? So he must not believe that in Yeshua, or what the words of what Yeshua is saying. Let's not get it twisted. The Master himself says, I am the only way back to the Father. There ain't many. Sadly, many today do not know the truth, even when it is staring them right in the face. Just like Pilate, who stood before Messiah, the truth, and asked the question, "What is truth?" And he walked out. 1 John 2:4, "The one who says, 'I know him,' and does not guard his commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So we can say, yeah, I know him all day long. But if you're not doing what he did or doing what he said to do, he says you're a liar and the truth is not in him. Be careful. Be careful not to fall into that. Be careful what we listen to or who we listening to. Make sure that who we listening to is living this out like Yeshua lived, is walking like Yeshua walked. To get a clear answer to what truth is, we can see what David says in Psalms 119, 142. "Your righteousness is righteousness forever. And your Torah is truth." What belt we got to put on? What's part of the armor? The belt of what? The belt of truth. What David just said, what is truth? His Torah. His Torah. Yet you do not get it any clearer than that. Yet we can further see in this Psalm 119, 151. "You are near, O Yehovah, and all your commands are truth." All of it. Every last single one that's in this big part of the left side of Matthew. All his commands is what? Truth. We're talking about the belt. So what that belt is, you got to put on that Torah. Put the truth on. His commands, which are his Torah, his instructions. That's what you don't want. That's what it's, you know, you don't, nobody can tell me what to do. You have instructions. You have rules. You know, it's like when people come to the dock to go hunting, you got rules. Put your life jacket on. Zip it and clip it. You got instructions. But it's like you're dealing with kids sometime who've been with them for years. The rules never change. These rules never changed. 2,000 years ago, still the same rules. 10 years ago, you've been hunting, still the same rules. Zip it and clip it. Put it on. But somehow it's like you're dealing, like I said, you got to remind them. No. You have instructions, but nobody want instructions. People just want to do what they want to do. Act the way they want to act. Like they own the business. No, Yehovah owns the business. Let's not forget it. He owns it. And he has instructions and he has rules and you got to follow it. You can't live the way you want to live and expect all the blessings. His instructions are truth. And this must be our belt as we guard to do his commands. For that will be our righteousness. For his righteousness that we clothe ourselves with through obedience is forever. Isaiah 11:5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and trustworthiness the girdle of his waist. The word used here for girdle is azor, Strong's H232, meaning girdle, belt, and waistband. And we see from this that truth must be a belt for us, strapped around our waist and loins so that we continue to walk in righteousness and not stray. Strapped around your waist, meaning pull that bad boy tight to where it's not, you ain't got to worry about nothing sagging, nothing showing. Put it on, tighten that belt up. You're going to need that belt. Why? So you continue walking righteously and not astray. If you know the truth, can you be fooled? No, that ain't true. I know better than that. But if you don't know the truth, and if you ain't got it on, then you're going to believe it. Or you're going to doubt it, should I say. This word is used in the words of Yehovah to Jeremiah, in speaking of those who are supposed to walk in his truth, have disobeyed as the girdle or belt become useless when they are called to be a set apart people. Why is it become useless? Because you ain't got it tight enough on you. It's like some people when walk around today. They got a belt on, but it's nowhere near tight enough because it's still sagging. You're defeating the purpose. Take the belt off. Don't do you no good with it on. You ain't got it tight enough. That's like his truth. If you're not trying to do all of it, you're defeating the purpose. Take it off. You ain't living it out to the fullest. Ain't doing you no good. Because the enemy's going to lie to you, and you're going to buy something. It's going to show you true character. Because you ain't got the whole truth. You ain't got that truth tight around your waist. Useless. Jeremiah 13, 10 through 11. This evil people who refuses to hear my words. What he calls them? Evil people. Who refuses to hear my words. Could that be some believers? That refuse to hear his words? Let us not go call them evil people, because then we got a whole fight on our hands. But we don't need to say it. Let's say, hey, let me read something to you, brother. This is what Jeremiah says, the prophet. This is what the words of Yehovah are saying. This evil people who refuses to hear my words. I'm not telling you this. This is what the word says. Listen, we ain't got to get in an argument match with nobody, a fighting match with nobody. All we got to do is say what the word says. We say what the word says, and we good. I promise you. They got to deal with that. We don't have to deal with it. We don't have to put the gloves on. Take the gloves off. Put the Bible in our hand. That's all we got to do. Put the word in our heart. Who walk in stubbornness of their heart and walk after other mighty ones to serve them and how and to bow themselves to them. It's like this girdle, which is completely useless. For as the girdle clings to the loins of a man, so I have caused all the house of Israel and all the house of Yehuda to cling to me, declares Yehovah, to become mine for a people and for a name and for a praise and for an adorning. But they did not listen. But they did not listen. Those who refuse to listen to and obey the Torah are evil and dysfunctional, as they follow hard after the tradition and dogmas of man that has become a useless belt for them, instead of putting on the belt of truth. Let me ask you, are you girded about with truth? Does the truth cling to your loins as you cling to his word and walk in it? Or as your belt become loosened through, or has your belt become loosened through compromise and sin? Is our belt tight enough? Listen, and remember, you're on your own journey. You tighten your belt up and just be praying that I can tighten mine up one day. Don't ever forget that. Pray that I get there, just like you, if you are already there. Building up the body. Building up the body. Through sin and compromise, people become fat in their own selfishness and pride. And like a person that get fatter and fatter until their belt becomes too small and useless to wear, so do those who continue in sin and lawlessness. becomes fat with pride and arrogance to the point where the belt of truth no longer fits. The Greek word for the truth is aletheia, Strong's G225, which means truth, truly, according to truth. And in Hebrew, the word for truth is emet, Strong's H571, which means truth, firmness, faithfulness. And this word carries an underlining sense of certainty and dependability. And we know that the word of Yehovah is truth. Anybody would disagree with that? Trick question. Psalms 119, 160. I hope nobody would have said amen. The sum of your word is truth, and all your righteous right rulings are forever. Anyone who claims to serve Yehovah without walking in and giving heed to follow his Torah, commands, and instructions are not serving in truth. And those who claim that the Torah, the law of Elohim, has been done away with are sadly riddled with the leaven of hypocrisy of man's theologies and dogmas that seeks only to serve self rather than the giver of life, while claiming the opposite. In the ancient pictograph symbols of this word, we are giving a greater insight in understanding how Yeshua Messiah is the truth. This word, emeth, Strong's H571, in the ancient scripts look like this. The Aleph. The ancient script has this letter and is pictured as the head of an ox and represents strength, meaning muscle, as the ox is the strongest of the livestock animals. This also carries the meaning of yoke, as an ox is placed in a yoke in order to plow or pull a heavy load in the right direction. This can also picture for us the red heifer sacrifice that Yeshua Messiah fulfilled. Listen, he was pulling a load. Yeshua Messiah had a load. The whole world on his shoulders. Think about that. Pulling that load. He's trying to pull us in the right direction. And he did it faithfully. He did not slack in no way in pulling that load. Think about that. That load that he pulled. We just got to worry about ourselves and our family. Worry about pulling them in the right direction. But Yeshua had the whole world on his shoulders. And when, you know, sometimes life get a little tough and, you know, we want to give up. We don't want to continue to pull that load. Yeshua never gave up. Never gave up. He pulled it to death. Till he couldn't pull it no more. He pulled it. The Mem. The ancient script has this letter and is pictured as water and also carries the meaning of chaos from the storms of the sea and can also picture that which is mighty or massive as well as the unknown. We are also able to understand this letter as representing the nations, for the nations are often likened to the seas in Scripture. The Tav. The ancient script has this letter, which is pictured as two cross sticks and can represent for us seal, covenant, mark, or sign. As this once again points to the complete work of Messiah and the renewal of the covenant in his blood that brings the two houses of Yisrael and Yehuda together in him as one. For he is not only the Aleph, but is also the Tav, the beginning and the end of all creation. As we consider these letters in describing Messiah as being the truth, we are able to clearly see that it is by his strength and might that he has passed through the waters in order to secure for us his covenant of promise. It is by his strength, his might. It is by his blood that he has passed through the waters to secure us. That he is the only access back to Yehovah. The covenant of promise. Messiah is the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last, who came from above, passing through the waters of the heavens and the earth, in order to redeem us according to his word. The first, the only one, to be resurrected and not die again. Because let's not forget there was others that was raised from the dead. Yeshua did Lazarus. But guess what? Lazarus died again. The only one that was ever to raise from the dead and stay alive. Yeshua Messiah. The only one. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25. And it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yehovah, our Elohim, as he has commanded us. What's our breastplate of righteousness? To guard to do all the commands that Yehovah has commanded us. The breastplate of the high priest has what? 12 stones that represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And the full breastplate represents the fullness of all 12 tribes that are gathered together in Messiah, as each one is set in or grafted into righteousness that guards the heart and chest. The heart is where the Torah is to be written upon. And righteousness guards our hearts and minds in Messiah. Exodus 28:15. And you shall make a breastplate of right ruling, a work of a skilled workman, like the work of the shoulder garment. Make it of gold, of blue and purple and scarlet material, and fine woven linen. A breastplate of right ruling. Right rulings, the Mishpat, Strong's H4941, is judgment, ordinance, and regulations. And comes from the word Shaphat, Strong's H8199, meaning to judge, govern, rule, pronounce judgment, or give law. Isaiah 33:22, for Yehovah is our judge. Yehovah is our judge. So let us stop thinking that we can judge someone. Let Yehovah judge them. Look, just present them with the word. Just present them with the word. And let him do the judging. Remember, we're on our own journeys. Yehovah is our lawgiver. Yehovah is our sovereign. He saves us. Yehovah saves us. There is only one who gives us the law by which we must live and by which we are governed. In these judgments and right rulings and regulations given by him, we must do. These laws, these regulations, and these right rulings that he has given, we must do it. We must do them. It's not a maybe. Not if I want to. No, you must do them. Why? Because your life depends upon it. And not only your life, but others' life depends upon it. Whether you want it or not. You might say, I don't want that responsibility. Listen, it's yours. You're a believer. Someone else's life depends upon what you do, how you act, the things you say. You might not want it, but it's just that comes with it. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than me and you. Number three, feet fitted with the good news of peace. Here Shaul was once again referring back to the high priest in the service of the tabernacle. Exodus 28:35. And it shall be upon Aharon to attend in, and its sound shall be heard when he goes into the set apart place before Yehovah, and when he comes out, so that he does not die. Remember that there was no shoes in the garments of the high priest. And so we see that his service is in the set-apart presence of the master, where shoes were taking off. Shoes fitted with the good news is a picture of being completely fitted with the pure, set-apart garments of truth and righteousness. Ready to do service, and just as Aharon would be heard, as he went in and came out, so too do we need to make sure that we do not remain silent in our proclaiming as the Basora, the good news, lest we die. Now ain't the time for us to be silent. We need to be proclaiming this as loud can be. Listen, the world has no problem proclaiming what they want to proclaim. They'll put it in your face right now. They don't care. Social media, television, whatever you put your turn on, they're going to put it in your face. And you got to like it or not. What stops us from putting it back in their face? The good news. In a loving way. Let me kind of back up a little bit. Put it in their face in a loving way. Not with the sword. Leave the sword where it's at. Because we're going to get to the sword. I hope. But you can put it back in a loving way. But no, I don't want to cause confrontation. You know, I don't want to cause trouble. But yet they can put it in ours and we got to take it. No, we don't have to. And matter of fact, we shouldn't, because now is the time that we need to be proclaiming this good news. Just like if they can tweet it, we can tweet it. If they can post it, we can post it. We don't have to be afraid of what they're going to say or what they're going to... Let them say what they want to say after you post it. You ain't got to counteract with nothing. You ain't got to come back with a comment or a smart remark. Just let the word do it. Just put a scripture. Because I guarantee you, everything that they're posting, you can back it up with a scripture and say, the scripture don't say this. Or the scripture's not doing that. And leave it at that. That's proclaiming the good news with the scripture. But no, we don't want to. But we're ready to post something besides the good news if we don't like what they say. We're ready to be defensive. Let's proclaim the good news, lest we die. Isaiah 52, 7 through 8. How pleasant upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who proclaims deliverance, who says to Zion, your Elohim reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they shall lift up their voices together, they shall shout for joy, because eye to eye, they see the return of Yehovah to Zion. What he says, how pleasant upon the mountains are those who brings the good news. Feet in the Hebraic mindset refers to one's walk. And feet fitted with the good news of peace speaks of walking in the perfect commands of Elohim as we guard to keep all his appointed time. And in the picture of the high priest with no shoes, we can see the picture of not having our feet spoiled with man-made customs and designs for fleshly comfort, but rather having feet washed and fitted with that which from Elohim, certainly a different picture than a Roman soldier's sandal or boot. Romans 10:14-15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without anyone proclaiming? You think we need to be proclaiming? And how shall they proclaim if they are not sent? As it has been written, how pleasant are the feet of those who bring the good news of peace, who bring the good news of the good. Who bring the good news of the good. But what he says in the very beginning, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And so many people doing that today. So many people. You put a prayer request up on Facebook, boom. You see so many of these hands. We was talking about that the other day on the boat. Because I seen a meme that says they doing these hands right here, and that's a high five hand. You got disaster going on in your house and you asking for prayer and somebody's giving you a high, that's a high five. People's dying and you high fiving. And they think it's praying hands. That's what I did. I laughed. But they don't even believe, but yet they're praying. I don't want you praying for me, because I don't know who you're praying to. So I'm not posting the prayer request on Facebook. No, Lord, not at all. When Messiah washed his disciples' feet, he commissioned them for service toward one another by setting the highest example for us. And so his washing of the feet symbolized how we are to make sure that our feet are daily washed in his word. For this will keep our feet from slipping, and we will be able to proclaim with joy the good news. Daily washing in his word. Meaning I'm going to wash when everything's going good, I'm going to wash when everything's going bad. I got to get in that word. You have to get in that word. Even when you don't want, listen, when you're feeling that you don't want to, that's the time you really need to get in that word. That's the time you need to push your hardest and get in it, is when you don't want to. It's easy to get in it when you want to. It's the don't want to that when you really want to get in it. Number four, the shield of faith. Genesis 15:1. After these events, the word of Yehovah came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward is exceedingly great." Psalms 28:7. Yehovah is my strength and my shield, my heart who trusted in him, and I have been helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I thank him. You see how important your praises are? In my song, I thank him. The Greek word that is used for shield in Shaul's letter is thureos, Strong's G2375, which means a shield, and was typically understood as being a large, oblong, four-corner shield, and comes from the word thura, Strong's G2374, which means a door, entrance, or gate. This shield would be as large as a door that would cover the whole man like a door, which could also cover the entrance to a cave. And many of the ancient shields were typically made of wood and covered with animal skin. Think about that. Think about how heavy that thing must have been. Like the whole size of a door? You carrying that thing around? You ever anybody try to carry a door? Try to carry a door. Just go home, take it off the hinge, and just walk around with it and see how heavy it is. Put it on. Look, you ain't even got to use two hands. Just 10 minutes. Just do it for 10 minutes. Somebody video your husband when they go do it, please. I want to see it. And see how long you going to survive. How long you going to carry that thing. Think about that. Made of wood and animal skin. Don't go put no animal skin on it. When we think of the picture of this kind of shield, we can immediately see the pointing to Yeshua Messiah, who is the door, and in reference to the tabernacle and set apart place, had coverings of animal skin. And so when we understand that Yehovah is our shield, then we can see how we find great refuge in him and his name as we serve him faithfully by shining his light as the lampstand in the set apart place that gives us light to the house. This makes perfect sense in its relationship to a door, for the only means of access to that protection is through the door. The only means of access to that protection is through the door. As we recognize these words that Yeshua Messiah is speaking to us, there is no other way to walk under his protection except by entering in or going out through the door. The only way of his protection. Going in and out through the door clearly implies a continued action of obedience And to walk as Messiah walked involves action. And that action is to be done completely in line with his walk. And this is a walk of total obedience. There's an action. There's something we have to do. But you don't do it to the way you want to do it. He's telling us the only way to do it, what action you got to do, the same action I did. The same action Yeshua did. That's the actions we got to have. And what actions did he show? Did he show just anything? No. The prescribed way he showed. This was his action. He wrapped himself in the Torah. He walked according to the Torah. He lived according to the Torah. Total obedience. Therefore, as we come to the door and follow our shepherd's voice by obeying his Torah, we are able to find great refuge in our mighty Elohim, who is our strength and shield. Psalms 5:12 and Psalms 33:20. 5:12 and 33:20. For you bless the righteous, O Yehovah. You surround him with favor as with a shield. 33:20. Our being has longed for Yehovah. Our help and our shield is he. The root word that used here for shield is magain, Strong's H4043, which means shield, buckler, and defense, and is also understood as representing a wall of protection. Psalms 28:7, Yehovah is my strength and my shield. My heart has trusted in him, and I have been helped. Therefore, my heart exalts, and with my song I thank him. What we recognize, too, is that we cannot see the shield of faith, and our shield of faith is Yehovah. And we place our trust in him, who we do not see. And our belief and expectation are in him. The helmet of deliverance. I'm going to try to get, how much time I got left? You gave me 10 minutes ago. Huh? Okay. We're going to get through this armor. The helmet of deliverance. Exodus 28:36-38. And you shall make a plate of clean gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, set apartness to Yehovah. And you shall put it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban, and it shall be on the forehead of Aharon. And Aharon shall bear the guilt of the set apart gifts with the children of Israel, set apart in all their set apart gifts. And it shall be always, and it shall always be on their forehead, or for acceptance for them before Yehovah. Ezekiel 9:3-6. And the esteem of Elohim of Israel went up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And Yehovah said to him, pass on into the midst of the city, into the midst of Jerusalem, and you shall put on a mark on the foreheads of men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. And to the others he said, in my hearing, pass on into the city after him and smite. Do not let your eye pardon nor spare. Kill to destruction, old, young men, maidens, and children, and women, but do not come near anyone upon whom is the mark and being at my set apart place. So they begin with the elders who were in the front of the house. Notice, it's he's got a mark, and there's going to be a mark, a copycat of a mark. You're going to have a mark who's going to be for Yehovah, and you're going to have a mark who's going to be for the adversary. What marks us for deliverance as we sojourn here? Exodus 13:9-16 tells us that the keeping of Pesach and Matzah, Passover and unleavened bread, is a sign on our foreheads and hands. And Ezekiel 20:12-20 tells us that the Sabbath is a sign between us and Yehovah forever. The Sabbath, keeping his Sabbath is a sign. You want to know how who his set apart people is? The ones that's keeping his Sabbath forever. Never done away with. And his Sabbath is not Sunday Sabbath. That's not his Sabbath. Exodus 13:9 and Exodus 13:16. And it shall be as a sign to you on your hand, and as a reminder between your eyes, that the Torah of Yehovah is to be in your mouth. For with a strong hand, Yehovah has brought you out of Mizraim. Listen, you think it should be in your mouth if he delivered you from Israel, from Mizraim, from Egypt? It should be in your mouth. It should be in our mouth like it should have been in their mouth. Why? Because he delivered us from Egypt too. Let's not forget. We was in bondage. We was in bondage that we couldn't get out of. We was in slavery. But thanks be to Yehovah, he made a way. Keep making a way when there seemed to be no way. He made a way to get me out of Egypt. And therefore his Torah should be in my mouth every day. 13:16. And it shall be as a sign on your hand and as frontlets between your eyes, for by strength of hand Yehovah brought us out of Mizraim. Exodus 20:12 and 19:20. Exodus 20:12. And I also gave them my Sabbaths, with an S, to be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Yehovah who sets them apart. Yeah, you set apart when people see you going to church on a Friday night and a Saturday morning. I am Yehovah your Elohim. Walk in my laws and guard my right rulings and do them. Verse 20. And set apart my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you to know that I am Yehovah your Elohim. Our obedience to his commands and the keeping of his appointed times is what marks our deliverance to come, and each one must work their own deliverance. Work your own deliverance. Don't worry if the one on side you ain't where you at right now. You didn't reach your destination just yet. Continue to work on yours, and the person on side of you gonna continue to work on theirs. We're not racing here. It's not a race. It's not to see who can get there first. Just continue to do your journey. Keep your journey. Stay on your path. And we're going to stay on ours. To come out, and each one must work their own deliverance with fear and trembling, as we are transformed daily by the renewing of our minds, as we meditate on the Torah day and night. 6, the sword of the Spirit. Just as we cannot see the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit we also cannot see. The sword of the Spirit is the word of Yehovah that is written on our hearts and minds as part of the renewed covenant in Messiah. Deuteronomy 33:29. Blessed are you, O Yisrael, who is like you, a people saved by Yehovah, the shield of your help, and he who is the sword of your excellency. And your enemies are subdued for you, and you tread down their high places. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of Elohim is living, working, and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting through even to the dividing of being and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of Elohim is able to do that. The sword. The word of Elohim, that sword. We certainly do have hard copies of the word of Elohim, and we must meditate day and night on it. However, the sword of the Spirit is more than the letters on the pages. We must read and study daily, for it is in us, and the light of his truth must be kept burning inside as we guard to keep all our lamps burning continually, which is the duty of the set-apart priesthood. We must keep it burning continually. The sword of the Spirit is our only offensive weapon against the attacks of the devil. The sword of the Spirit is our only offensive weapon against the attacks of the devil. And if we do not know how to use the sword, then we endanger not only our own lives, but also the lives of others. Think about that. Listen. You can grab this sword and you can do some damage with it. Why? Because you don't know the truth. And religion got this all twisted. Just think of the damage that religion has done over the years. Why? Because they grab that sword and don't know how to use it. It's like driving a machinery. If someone don't teach you how to use it and the correct way to use it, you can hurt someone. It's like being in a crane. I remember father-in-law training me for that, teaching me how to do that. Listen, you working pedals, levers, 2 feet, that's dangerous. But if someone who's has been well-equipped in it not teaching you the correct way to use it, you can kill someone. You can hurt someone really, really bad. No different than this word. If us, who Yehovah has put in this position, if we're not training our people to correctly use this word, and look, please, by all means, go back and check it out. Make sure. Don't just take our word for it. Because that's what we have done in the past. We took someone's word for it. But thanks be to Yehovah and His grace. Because we did some damage. And religion is still doing some damage. Why? Because they don't know how to correctly use this weapon. There's a correct way to use it. He tells us. You got to use it this way. Not that way. Not the way you want to use it. You got to use it the way that I'm telling you to use it. Because you're going to damage a lot. You're going to kill people. You're going to hurt them badly. Endanger not only our own lives, but also the lives of others. There may come a time when we might have limited access to scripture copies. And so we must ensure that the word is in us and is alive, so that we are able to yield to the sword as a faithful soldier of Messiah. As discussed previously on the lamp and light, we know that the word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And so Shaul tells us in Romans 13:12, the night is far advanced, the day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. How are you dressed? Do you put on the armor of Elohim, or do you forget what to wear? We wear the armor of Elohim based on His covenants of promise, to which we have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. And exchanging armor was an ancient practice as part of covenant making. 1 Samuel 18:3-4, and Yohanan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own being. And Yohanan took off the robe and was on him and gave it to David, and his garments even to his sword and his bow and his girdle. Messiah in His own blood renewed the marriage covenant and exchanged garments with us, as He took our sin in order that we can be clothed in Him and His whole armor. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of Elohim. Listen, He exchanged His garments for mine. He didn't have to put mine on. My garments was stained, dirty, stunk with all that sin and filth. But yet He gave me His garment. He exchanged mine for His. What a Savior. What a Savior to take His off to put mine on. Listen. And if we walking in Messiah,
If we building up the body, sometimes you got to take yours off for a brother and a sister. Let's not forget. Let's take yours off. Now, because of the renewed covenant, we are able to put on his perfect armor. So we who are sons of light and sons of the day, let us daily put on the full armor of Elohim, clothed in fullness of his living word, as we faithfully guard to do all he has commanded us. There is much more I could share on the topic, yet I ask you, have you figured out what the full armor of Yehovah looks like as depicted by the Hebrew scriptures and not by Roman guard? In a nutshell, to put on the full armor of Yehovah is to put on the garments of the priesthood as described by the Torah and serve according. Put on by the Torah and serve according. Colossians 3, 8 through 11. But now also put off all these: displeasure, wrath, evil, blasphemy, filthy talk from your mouth. Do not lie to each other. Since you have put off the old man with his practices and have put on the new one who is renewed in knowledge, according to the likeness of him who created him, where there is not Greek and Yehudi, circumcised and uncircumcised, foreign, Scythian, slave, free, but Messiah is all and in all. This is the last slide. He who has an ear, put on the right gear. You done heard it this morning. All ears was cupped, I hope. Listening attentively. Put on the right gear. Amen. Put on the right gear. And what's putting on the right gear? Putting on his Torah. He's so good to us. Amen. Let's stand.